motion on the minutes.
Motion to approve minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Keith?
Hi.
Financial update?
At the end of June, we had a total of $13,867,868,000 in cash and investments, of which $9,879,000 was VAT related. On the last page there, the investment update, it's showing that there's an investment maturity that was on, happened on 7/17. Our current cash on hand in the bank accounts has gotten down to about $500,000.
What sheet are you pointing to?
The very last page, the investment.
Turn it over. Last page on the.
It's on agenda item two. It's right behind the, that one right there.
The one there, you have to, the very last page.
Had it put the wrong way?
Yeah. So we had a maturity on 7/15, actually it was 7/17, it was $1 million, $1,058,000. So I had that come back into the cash. We're earning 4.15 on our cash accounts. So that's pretty much equivalent to whatever we can get on the investments these days, because we have to keep stuff for a short term. There's a new line item on this last, on the memo here. It says bank interest income year to date. Out there, just for informational purposes, we've earned $139,000 so far for 6 months in the year. Last year it was $424. It's a big difference between interest rates of 0.05% and 4.15%.
Yeah, so the board members who are borrowing money are painfully aware of that right now.
The what?
Those of you who are borrowing money are painfully aware of that right now.
We moved some of the money out of M&amp;T also, and this is around, or out of Ramirez, and we've been moving it around because of business.
That's it.
I forget what you, I searched our committee, but they got the difference discussed today. It is quite amazing, the difference.
All right, so on the reporting and filing dates, the backup for the second round of O&M payments was submitted to Nellie at Westchester on the 23rd of June. It's in the process of being reviewed currently, and I suspect she'll have questions probably by the end of July. She's been away and she's been busy with other things. So last year we sent the payments out around the end of August. I'm suspecting it will be the same or maybe even a little bit later this year. And there are no changes to the compliance portion of this on the back.
No, am I on the, it was something I had to do, which I did.
You did it, yes.
Okay, so there was a change.
Yep. Well, you did it, well.
A month ago, whatever.
Yeah, it was done last time, yeah. Any questions?
What does the blue mean? They don't have to do anything?
Oh, no. If you go to the front.
Why is Corey there? Is that, isn't it?
No, that's not Corey. The board evaluation. Employees don't do this.
I was off the line when I went across.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's still North Castle and New Castle?
Yep. And then we're still waiting for Putnam County, Kevin Byrne, to do his board member training, which he technically has till the end of the year. It has to be done.
Did he do that once for all the boards he's on?
That's right. I don't know, but
it's kind of hard to get.
They're supposed to submit it back to us that it was complete, and I have not received anything to date.
Have you asked him?
Yeah, several times.
I'll ask him again.
Just tell him to send us something he completed. And it's on him if
it kicks back a confirmation, and we're supposed to keep that on file.
Good county exec, I think he's been busy with a couple of things.
Thanks, Sal.
Well,
how's he doing?
He's great.
Project update.
So we are sitting at approximately 710 kilograms approved by New York State with another 31 pending. We're currently out to bid on two projects, which will total another 12 kilograms. Those are PCMB 1000 on John Simpson Road for an infiltration basin, and LMU 1017 in the town of Lewisboro for tiered bioretention on private property. Those two projects, as I said, will total about 12 kilograms. The next wave of bids will be about a month later, which will be two projects totaling approximately 55 kilograms. One of those is for YMU 40, which is for Army Corps funding. We recently presented to the town of Yorktown and have their approval to move forward. They have signed the installation agreement, which our board approved, I think it was last month, if not the month prior. The last piece to that puzzle, which will affect the bidding schedule, would be approval and of the Army Corps of Engineers reimbursement and funding agreement. They have to finalize everything on their end, provide us a document to review. It's not fundamentally going to be any different than what we've seen in the past, which is why we put a previous document into the installation agreement. I believe you have a meeting with Army Corps today to go over any last bits that they'll be looking for, and then we'll look to approve that. These larger projects that as I just discussed, in combination with some of the open catch basin filter projects, will jump us up to 800 kilograms pretty quickly, probably by early spring is what I'm expecting for many of these, because as we start construction this fall, there's inevitably going to be planting season that we need to tap into for the spring of 24.
Can I ask you a question?
Yep.
The last one, what's the last column, estimated construction? What is that, the EST.CONST?
That's just the estimated window when we expect to be out on construction.
So is Keeler Lane done?
Keeler Lane should be listed as ongoing. It is done. It's just a matter of, I think there's just little bits and pieces I would just want to tie in for stabilization. Like,
I've got no comments other than it looks really nice.
Great.
They did a good job. Nothing else.
I think maybe Corey, if you can recall, I think we're just down to kind of clean up and planting.
The last thing left is that the contract needs to go in and clean up some silt fences left over and just clean up a little bit of the erosion matting. Yeah. But otherwise, it does look pretty good.
It was the whole side of the hill through people's property.
Yeah,
I was waiting for the complaints or something come in like they didn't do this right.
No, the property owners told me that they love it and it looks great, so yeah. We're happy with
that. Very happy with the way the contractors dealt with any questions the homeowners have had. So it's been a good experience thus far. And to a point that you had brought up in previous meetings, Warren, the riprap that was placed down at the bottom has held up. It's rated for, I think it was 50 plus a year for storm flows coming through.
So
it held up through, the 8-inch rainstorms.
We didn't have the 8-inch, but we had one last weekend that was not good.
Yeah, so it's still
in good shape. That's rated for 50 years or 50 year storm?
I'm sorry, 50 year storm, that's what.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what.
So, but an 8-inch rain down in North Seattle is going to be 100.
It's a 600 year event, but
yeah.
It held up, so.
What's nice is it's coming through pipes at that point, so it's throttled. There's a maximum.
The pipes actually don't help.
I've seen it move before. I've seen rocks.
With every big storm that comes through, we stop by, we check it.
We'll know as soon as it happens.
So if something has to be done, we'll
just don't want anything to get washed out.
We'll be able to take care of.
That last storm we had in Patterson?
Which is the last, because that one I did 3 weeks ago was the problem.
July 10th.
Yeah.
We saw a rock the size of a Volkswagen move downstream.
This goes back to Sandy or Lee. I was next to a stream that was going, it was normally dry stream, but it's a gully disc with big rocks in it. And you could hear the rocks rolling down the stream. They were hitting each other, boom, 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 under the water. It's like, man, this is...
Water is scary.
And it wasn't that. It was only about 15 feet across. But it was moving fast. And there were no small rocks in the thing. They were just rolling down. They were round. Can't have round rocks.
Yeah.
the room.
It's always interesting to come in after a storm and see our little stream out here.
Yeah, well, that's a big pipe,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. It was more interesting coming down 292 and seeing our little stream over there that was 3 feet across the road.
Mm. Yeah. But for us, last weekend was far worse. We lost roads, a lot of roads, dirt roads and stuff.
Oh, this past weekend?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I know Yorktown is way behind on digging out. They, from the meeting that I had down there, I think it was 2 weeks ago, or last week, they just got hammered.
Again, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that region of, and I'm sure other towns as well, having an eight-inch storm come through is...
Oh, that was July 10th. Yeah,
yeah, that's July 10th. One.
Yeah.
So. Unfortunately, what we're kind of expecting that to mean is a lot of the retrofits that have been in that area, any maintenance that may have been on target or on schedule for those projects, we'll have to check in with the towns and see how they're doing, because we understand that trees and blocking roadways and washouts are going to take priority, unfortunately, but we have to make sure that everything's functioning correctly, so we'll... Keep an eye on the highway departments that are.
So it's over at Putt Valley. He was looking for sheets, metal sheets, because he lost bridges and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The last piece of the project update for everybody is just to keep you apprised what's going on at Kent MB 1000, which is the project up the road here off of Longfellow, where we're working with the private developer to stabilize the extremely large channels there. They're on target for submittal to the DEP and DEC for permitting in early August. Feedback from that submittal will give us the ability to finalize any easements, the meets and bounds of any easements where everything will take place, and we'll still be pressing ahead. I'll work with council and the developer to lock those down over the next few months, and with a little luck, we might be going out to bid on the 75 kilogram project in possibly November, December, with the winter spring construction period in mind.
Really, winter? Yeah.
It's possible, but that's also from his mouth. So he's understandably optimistic.
I did hear from their attorney yesterday saying, I can't give you comments until I get the updated information from the surveyor about the new path. So that was yesterday he called me. Because he hasn't given me comments on the documents yet.
Right.
That's absurd, because we know there's going to be an easement out there. We just don't know the exact area, but that doesn't stop him from commenting on the substance of the agreement.
I don't know. He seemed to think he needed information from the surveyor, so I can ask him again. I mean, you have a map, right?
Paul's in their court.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are pushing this.
Yeah,
well, it sounds like Kevin wants it too. He's got
telegrams
in his eyes, you know.
I've got a certain certain government entities funding in mind that I would like to make sure we use prior to the completion of other things. So, as this is a 75 kilogram project that's eligible for FAD, that's a big swing, and will mean we can shelf some projects in Westchester, or I should specifically say non-FAD areas. So if that, if we continue to get tied up there, we're just kind of stuck in limbo. But to Rich's point, the ball is in their court at this point. They should be fully accepted everything within those easement agreements and the contracts, with the last piece to tie in just being meets and bounds and limits of that sort.
More and more comments.
Yeah. So hopefully we get a little feedback. I'd understand if they're waiting for DP to change
lawyers.
Path.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
That is all that comes to mind.
Okay. Telecommuting policy. Hey, Chris?
Yes.
Chris sent me something last night, I guess.
Yeah.
Did you share that with everybody?
No, because I was just trying to get a sense of whether this is the kind of thing you were thinking about, Do you want me to copy this for the board?
Or do you want to do one with the markup?
You can.
Which would you prefer?
Well, my only question is this, but...
Yeah, listen, I couldn't think of any other way to phrase it, but that's the facts. That is the truth.
Okay, I'll go copy this.
It is what it is.
Okay.
So essentially, just so everybody knows, Chris and I reviewed the materials that came out of the corporation on telecommunicating policy, and Chris actually put together an interim policy, which we think might be better. I took a look at it last night, gave her a whole bunch of comments that I think need to be, addressed one way or the other, whether, we say, yeah, we want to do this a little differently, you want to modify things, or it's good the way it is. That's what she's copying for everybody.
Okay. And in short, this was this is meant to just be a memo and a collection of everything that was found when we did our research and that was asked of us from the last executive committee meeting. So it's a stepping off point to what it sounds like you guys have been working on.
Do you guys all want to try to create, I guess that's the first question, do you want to try to create a policy like this? And that's why I didn't say that, Rich. I wanted to make sure that was the direction you wanted to go in.
Yeah, let me tell you what my only concern is. I think you need to be in the office during the week, at least at some times. You can't be like, you come in once a month.
So let's talk through this is for the board's discussion. This is not a negotiation. This is for the board to decide what kind of a policy, if any, they want to create here, right? So this goes through some best practices and recommendations.
Warren, she's looking at it.
Yes. So first of all, this is an interim policy because we have never done this before, and I think you want to see how this works and decide how you want to do this, assuming that you do want to do it. So this provides for a particular remote work plan, and I think that work hours and location does make sense as is what would be in the work plan. I think the idea is that it has to be approved for the employee who's requesting it. The approval, this is for the benefit of the corporation. It only applies to exempt employees at the moment. In other words, not people who are only hourly paid. Because I don't know that you have a mechanism. You're not big enough, you're not a huge organization, you don't really have a structure to deal with that. So, when you have an exempt employee, in other words, somebody who's salaried, right? Who's at a level that they're allowed to be salaried, Because we're monitoring work effort
all these
and all
guys
of that. That's right.
Okay, maybe I'm misunderstood.
Well, except for, I think you're insurance.
Yeah. But what was the comment then about we don't have exempt?
I think you don't have exempt except I think your intern is now exempt.
They're
all exempt except for
that's better.
Right?
Yes.
I think.
I think so.
But I think that's an appropriate policy limitation because I think it's difficult to monitor that for an exempt for a non-exempt employee.
No.
So flex schedules are subject to, you have a policy already on flex schedules, so we don't need to change that. You know, in your existing policy, you have a provision for that. I think clarification that a site inspection doesn't mean remote work. Your work already requires you to be off-site and working off-site on certain matters, and that's just part of the job, and part of the requirements of the job. You know, site inspections and so forth are part of the job. Okay, office staffing. We need people in the office, except obviously for weather closing or something like that. To your point, Warren, 3 days outside of me, whatever. You can decide, you know, you should decide what you think is a reasonable number. I don't know if it's 2 days, but whatever, you know, whatever you want to provide so that there's some provision. And you know, whether that's hours a week, I think that's a good idea. So should that be X number of hours a week on site?
Well, that's what I was thinking, because, you know, somebody may need to work remotely in the afternoon,
uh-huh.
but they could be in here in the morning.
Right, right.
So, you know, if they're doing it by hours, they could split the time.
Okay, so, I mean, is this meant to be more than 50% or something like that of the hours?
Well,
because people have different hours, so.
Sure, we'd have to talk about what the hours are.
Right.
Didn't this whole thing come about the one employee that you guys was offered another position to work fully remotely from home?
Yeah, but this policy is not about an individual.
No, I know it's not about an individual, but this is why it came up.
Who's sitting right behind you? If you want to talk about an individual, we need to go into.
I'm not talking about the individual. I'm just talking about.
Okay.
So the answer is yes.
Okay, that's all. That's what.
Stuff is changing very rapidly right now, and a lot of what were fully in office positions are becoming remote. So we're just trying to make it so that when we go to hire an
employee, 90% of NYSERDA is remote because they're all over the freaking state.
Right. So there's just a lot of remote opportunities, and we're trying to offer stuff for our future employees and the current ones to help them with retention overall.
So the issue that we would be worried about for policy is that we have staffing here live in office. Otherwise, what's the point of even paying rent for the building, right? But I don't know if it's a percentage that we offer any individuals. We're such a small staff.
But right now it's 60% in here.
Well, but I think that we should have 100% coverage when we want our office open and figure it out. So the percent of what we want as far as having our place in our the office here manned is the most important thing. And let the staff work out what that means.
Well, I think there's a difference. So this says at least one staff person is in the office all the time, so that the office is open.
Okay.
That was the point. And then beyond that, individuals, their plan needs to say they're going to maybe 60% of the hours, whatever, you know, need to be in the office. You guys can talk about that. What's a minimum number of hours that they need to be in the office?
We haven't discussed it, but
whatever it takes. I mean, why try to manage that part of it? Just our thing should be, is the work getting done? And do we have coverage here when we want coverage here in the office?
Well, this is a new policy, so I think having somebody say, I want to work 100% remotely, whether that works or not, is something that, you know, a lot of places are saying, I need you in the office a certain amount of time.
Well, we have so few people that the office is going to be open all week long. That means nobody can work at home 100%.
Right.
True. And there are benefits to having people working in an office because, you know, you have them in a controlled environment where they don't have other distractions. You have the ability to have that interaction.
Works
if Kevin
ways.
Needs something from Linda or Keith, he can just walk down the hall and get it. If everybody's remotely, then, you know, it's done by email and there may be a disconnect in, you know, what they're getting.
Yeah.
So there's advantages.
When you say you walk down the hall, if there's going to be one person here a day, there's nobody to walk down the hall with. So we need to make sure. I mean, the other part of this is all the telecommunications part. Make sure everything works the way it's supposed to.
Mm. Well, that was one of the things we had in the policy. As I said, it was for business continuity. Yeah, business continuity is to make sure that we can run the business, you know, corporation. If something happened to the building, let's say.
Well, that has nothing to do with people working in the building.
No, it's not.
That has to do with,
I'm just saying,
that has to do with storage off-site. That's a completely different issue.
Okay.
That should be handled anyway. Right?
Yeah.
So you guessed the number. I don't know what the number is. You said 3 out of 5 days they have to, they can be in or out. I don't know what it said. Either 40 or 60% of the time, whichever way you read it. But I'm not opposed to that.
And it may be, you know, something we need to talk about, well, they're going to be in every Tuesday, they're going to be in every Thursday, and then Monday, Wednesday, Friday, they work remotely. You know, it could be.
I think it should be a rotational thing.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have every Friday off, not the office.
Yeah.
I'm just serious. I mean, you shouldn't have every Friday off, or not in the office. You should have a rotation.
I need to bring you down to Patterson Town Hall, because everybody wants every Friday off and uses vacation time.
Shouldn't have that. It should be, if you have 5 people in the office, it should be rotation. I have this Friday off, boom, 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 going on. If it's 3 and 2,
so,
it's great.
So when you talk about how much, it depends how everything functions.
Mm-hmm.
Right
yes.
Now, if I'm calling the phone and it's ringing here, that's not good. If they're at home, right? So all of that stuff needs to be figured out.
So the next thing is whether they need to check in. It's, you know, different remote brands have different mechanisms. So some people, many of the larger corporations require people to sign on to their computer, and that monitors how many hours they're working. I mean, that's how remote hours work in a lot of large corporations. I don't think that's going to be possible for you.
It doesn't make any difference here. There's too many ways of getting around.
I understand.
But if there's 3 or 4 people, we're going to know whether the work's getting done.
Right, so then, you know, the question is, do we manage this instead by having a shared calendar? Do you have a shared calendar right now, Kevin?
Yes.
So, you know, do you manage this?
Are these your interns?
Oh, yes, they are.
We have the intern grilling already. We've already through it.
Well, this is Mark and Emily.
There's Mark. Do you want to sit? Oh, there's 2 chairs.
Oh, I can sit next to you, Mark.
Well, that's one of the fun things.
I've never sat.
I should go.
There you go. Yeah.
We're talking about working remotely.
Yeah, let him come to the office every day.
That's
a very simple concept.
Just what we're talking about. So, Kevin, I mean, a shared calendar that you have already, so that the point is everybody needs to know where everybody is all the time, right?
Yeah.
Whether they're working or not, because you can't be trying to chase people down.
Well, they need to be able to call people up. And so, as I said, you know, I think you guys have a pretty good voice over IP system.
We do, yeah.
Ours is terrible, and we're looking at one right now because, you know, if you plug your phone in at home, it rings. Plug your phone, no matter where you plug it in.
Right.
You don't want to be running after people all the time because,
right.
You know, their cell phone doesn't. I know the excuses, not that Kevin would ever say anything like that because I've got them at home, but the cell phone doesn't work at my house, this doesn't work there.
Right.
So you need the data access and all the technology needs to work so that it doesn't matter where you are, it kind of works the same.
Well, I mean, this is more, there are 2 things. There's communication and there's people knowing who's working on any given day, right? Whether you're off that day, whether you're working that day, whether you're in site that day, you know, all of you need to know.
What are you talking about, vacation time and stuff?
Well, I mean, everybody needs to know, are you on vacation? Are you working at home? You know, you need to have a calendar that allows everybody, including your, you know, board members, to know, are you working today? You know, do you have access to the shared calendar, Rich?
I don't know
currently, no.
Is there some way for you to have that? One of the board members to have access so that we can see
to the Outlook calendar.
Can you do
I'm
that
not
outside
sure.
The organization, though?
Yeah, you probably need
yeah.
A. You need to be part of the domain.
Yeah.
To do that.
You maybe.
I think.
You might be able to send it out to one of you guys, but I don't know how it works because if you're not at eoh.org on your email, it might not let
right.
You look at it.
Do you have an eoh email?
No.
So
we
can make one.
You can make one.
You can make the president at eoh.org.
We just have to write.
Then you can access it.
So shared calendar is kept on the server?
It's on Outlook. It's through our Outlook domain on GoDaddy.
So we created
okay,
a
so
shared
you're up,
calendar.
Okay, so you're up with Outlook. You're up in the cloud.
Yeah.
All right. So then I'd have to log in there.
Yeah. So you can definitely
so it's possible, and I think that might be a good solution.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Just, you know, just to be able to see, okay, so-and-so's, you know.
And that's fine, but I want to go back to something Warren said about, you know, everybody, you know, getting the work done. The reality here is none of us really know what work is getting done and whether it would be getting done. You know, that's something the internal staff knows,
well,
because
theoretically, it's all on the timesheet that says, I'm billing this time to this amount. I mean, you should be getting every single one of those that says I'm getting
yes.
I'm billing this thing to this time, right?
So I'm reviewing them. I'm signing off on them.
Okay.
Right? So, and I do review them, but, you know, do I know what's not on the timesheet? What I'm missing? Not at all.
I see.
You know? That's the reality. And that gets back to my point about the only way we're going to really know if this doesn't work is if the staff starts informing on each other.
Well, I mean, theoretically, you should be looking at productivity, but, you know.
Yeah. But I don't know how to judge that.
Well, productivity at this point is kilograms done, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of an odd. That's way at the end. I don't know how you measure it up front. There's a certain amount of trust in this, and as soon as the trust gets violated, things get changed. That's, you know, it's one thing if we were sitting here all day and people were out working, but we're never here. So, you know, we almost have there's an implicit trust right now that everybody's doing their job.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't you know the progress based on the update that we get?
Yes. But, you know, we've had problems in the past, and we knew we had problems. I don't think we have, well, every once in a while something comes up, but we don't have pervasive problems right now. We have people in the past that you couldn't trust to do anything.
Right, but so
we have a very good team right now.
You're right, and yet we need paperwork because we're spending other people's money, and we need to have timesheets, and we need to have documentation about what this needs to be done.
Yeah,
so we
my only point is it's no different than right now because we're not here. They're here by themselves.
That's true.
So.
And the timesheets were reviewed by...
The real issue for me is if Keith's in this room and Kevin's in this room and they can say, da-da-da-da, okay, as opposed to Keith now has to call somebody up because he's not in, he's out on Fridays, and can he get a hold of people? Now, I know I can call Kevin most of the time on his phone and he'll pick up, but when I call here, you know, it's they're out here or they're here. It's easier to get people on their cell phones.
Okay.
So
this check-in, check-out process is, in lieu of that, you're going to rely on your timesheets and the current procedures that you have. The question is whether you need different procedures, but you already have hourly accounting procedures.
We're implicitly trusting these folks now beyond what we see on the paper. We're trusting them that the work's getting done. And that trust has kind of grown over time because the work gets done.
You'll know if someone's abusing it.
Well,
you'll know.
Let me tell you.
It might take you a couple months.
What's happened in the past is one of the employees says, "Hey, we got a problem."
Months, maybe.
It might take you months, but you'll catch on.
Yeah, in the past, it's been, "Hey, we got a problem.
Right.
Can we talk to you? We got a problem."
So,
the
next part is about wherever you work, you guys are responsible for a safe workplace. Well, one of the problems with remote sites is that. What are you going to do? Go to investigate the house and see whether or not they have a comfortable chair and an ergonomically appropriate computer desk? I mean, you're not going to do that. So, that's a problem, and it's an inherent problem with these remote work arrangements. So, the employee is going to have to be responsible for creating and maintaining a safe workspace.
Noted as a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
right.
They have to send us a picture of
it. So that's one of the things that,
send someone out there.
Part of the plan that the employee would sign
office.
Would probably
do
be,
they?
You know,
well, I don't hear, but
I have, this is where I think you should ask your is it Nine Room that you have? I can't even remember who you have for insurance.
I think it's Nine
Room,
yeah.
Yeah, so they have a good number
Keith,
of
Nine Room, right? Insurance.
Do you have, no, you don't have Nine Room, do you?
For
insurance.
We have a workers'
No.
For liability.
Hopefully we're
paying. With that property.
For liability. So you don't have. Okay,
no.
So that's...
No, we have to have workers' comp.
Oh, we do have workers' comp.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which one is that?
So that's Hartford.
That's part of the Hartford.
Yeah.
Is
so
it?
Your general liability, though?
Mm-hmm.
Is
Hartford.
Well, no, the general liability is...
Is that Tokyo?
No, is it Shelter?
Shelter Point? Shelter Point is the paid family leave and disability.
Okay, we should just check, but we have.
Anyway, one of them, employer liability should cover it. If it was NYMER, I know they have a lot of good risk management regulations. I don't know about these other companies, whether they work or not.
Is that on us if we tell somebody they can work at home? Is that, how is that covered under workers' comp?
They're at work. That's the problem, at least arguably.
Can't they sign a waiver that says that?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Not.
The insurance companies aren't gonna want people to sign waivers that they're on something else as opposed to workers' comp.
So I think, so some of the recommendations that we saw were that the employee has to have their own, at least, homeowner's policy for interest to third parties, and that they need to have a safe workspace. You know, short of us inspecting it, we really can't do that. So that's why I said it would be nice to ask NYMER or somebody like that, do they have recommendations for remote work policies, and whether, you know, is there anything they want you to do, right? Just as a risk
if
management
can
matter.
Confirm who's doing our general liability, if it's not NYMER, then I will reach out to NYMER and say we're doing Mr. Patterson. What are your recommendations?
Yeah.
Otherwise, the corporation can reach out to NYMER.
Yeah, okay. I think that'd be good. So
we don't do that for any of our, I don't do that.
So things that need to be done, you know, the employee needs to make sure they have suitable seating and lighting. They're able to conduct confidential discussions, that they can, you know, and it's legal to use their residence. I mean, it's possible you could have, you know, some really tight zoning that says you can't have a home office. I mean, most places allow a home office if you don't have people coming and going to your house, you know.
I don't think this would even be considered remote, a home office.
Well, it's an issue that was raised, so.
There's no zoning that doesn't allow you to work at home one day or 2 days a week.
No zoning, no.
Well, okay, no zoning, I know. I mean, we explicitly allow professional type offices, but
I understand.
Go find someone. It'll be litigated.
I guess when you see remote, right? Who's going to be in Hawaii doing this work? So we're saying that the person now, instead of coming here, has to stay at their home. But the idea of remote is that they can be in France, and they're on vacation. Or they're living in France. They moved to France now. Now, maybe they won't move to France because they've got to be here to attend to, you know, site visits, but they could be in Hawaii, France, whatever. So how are we addressing that issue, right? So the vision of remote is I can go anywhere and remotely work.
So I specifically didn't say home here. I just said wherever they're working, they have to be certifying these things are true, that they're, you know, in a place where it's safe to work, they can be working without distraction, they have all the right connectivity that they need. You know, I mean, these are things that are going to have to be given, regardless of whether they're working at their house or their mom's house or whatever. You know, I mean, I don't, you know, whatever it is. And without distractions, right? Because if you're working from home, you're still working, and you're working without distractions.
But it comes down to, you don't care where they are, as long as you're doing the job.
My view of this, I worked for IBM for 32 years. Back in 1986, I lost my office. I had no office. And everything was electronic. I had 85 people before me. I didn't have a file cabinet. Everything was online. So if I opened my computer, I was working.
So NYMER's not on there.
And they didn't care as long as the work got done. So, you know, when you talk about whether it's Hawaii, they finally said, nope, we're not tracking vacation anymore because people were working on vacation all the time. And they just stopped. And I don't think you track vacation. Oh, you don't track sick time. That's what you don't
track. I don't
track
sick time.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm fairly liberal when it comes to this stuff. If people are used to sitting in an office all the time and they want somebody next to them, maybe you're not as liberal as I am, but I had people that were out working, doing their job, and I had metrics where I could track it.
Yeah.
Actually, I think you have to track work time, because the state said you can't have a policy that just treats all time equally, because the family medical leave says you have to give a certain, you know, level of medical leave. So you can't just combine time off and sick time. So that's what I've heard anyway from.
There's a number of municipalities that don't track sick time.
Yeah, but I think they're required to. I think that's.
Yeah, you know what happens when you track it?
We don't
people
track
take the 12 days off as sick when they're out golfing.
You can't do that. If you're not doing that, you better.
That's in our policy. Not separate sick time.
Okay.
So in order to get away from the you know, somebody working in France or wherever, right? If if we determine as part of our policy that when we have a meeting, we need to have people physically here at the meeting, then it's on them. We have a board meeting, we have our quarterly meeting, we want full staff, and we expect that the full staff is going to be there.
And I think this goes back to the issue with the work plan. They can submit a work plan, and the work plan says I'm working in France, then, and we approve it, then so be it.
But when you have the meeting, you better be prepared at your expense to fly here, or get yourself here for the meeting when we watch it.
Put a big screen up there. That's Kevin. That's Kevin on the screen.
Okay, so this then says, you know, employees should be available for on-screen professional consultations with board members, staff, agencies, contractors, consultants when they're working from home. That, you know, they need to be connected and be able to be on screen to have meetings.
What do you guys use here? So I'm sorry. What do you guys use here? Teams?
Yeah.
Internally.
So Teams, you can just pop on there, and in 2 seconds, you just send someone a message, need to see you.
Yeah, we message each other all the time.
So you could just jump on in a minute.
Right.
If you
walking down the
hall. In charge, yeah. You could pop on. Is he home? Is he working from his computer? Beep, 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 beep.
Half the conversations I have with Corey is.
You can even do that when you're down the hall.
He's right down the hall.
You just pop and just.
Or I'll just tell him, come back to me.
You don't say, how you doing? Are you okay?
There's so many ways you can get around the structure of what you want to do. You just have to structure it. Like, I want people in here in the office 3 days a week. The other 2 days a week, they can work from home. Or it's vice versa. You work for 2, 3, whatever. There's so many ways to get around it. Like, it's a lot of trust factor. You could be in Hawaii to work. If you've got a site visit, you got to get back here. If we have an in-person visit, we've got an in-person board meeting or something like that, we need you to be here. And that's your responsibility to get from Hawaii back here.
Just having some constraints on it and then pretty much hold through everything else.
I trust Kevin. I trust Linda. I don't know about you, Corey, but I trust Steve.
So, Kevin, you guys all have laptops?
Yes.
I believe so.
Your policy is always to have laptops.
Yes.
So,
we did that so they could work at home.
Right. So the employee must only use the laptop issued by the corporation and make sure it's regularly updated. That's, you know, a given. You should be doing that anyway. Originals of documents to remain in the office, I think, is a good policy. Copies only off-site, which is probably a very good policy. Not to take originals off-site. Most of the time, you're probably going to work with remote, with,
online access.
Online anyway. No, I understand, but, it, you know, surveys, maps, whatever,
right.
You know.
Right. No classified stuff.
Nothing left in the garage.
That was a concern. There's, you got confidential information.
Yeah.
There's a data information thing out there, but we really don't have any called restricted data in this because everything is public information.
Yeah, there's Social Security and all that stuff like that. That's
really
the only
thing. You have personnel things that are not confidential, so you need to, you know, keep track of that.
Quick side question on this. So we get in a lot of very big plans, right?
Sure.
They all come in electronically?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a requirement here. They're all electronic.
I believe what we set up was one paper, you have to give us electronic, but
because that's what we do in Patterson. So,
yeah.
So
otherwise,
everything should be available electronically anyway.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So then, hard copies of confidential documents are not taken offsite, and you just said you shouldn't take any hard copies, but I think the point is, you know, that
originals should always be kept here.
I think that's probably good, and.
Yeah.
And even if you do have any hard copies, they have to be maintained in a secure location. Obviously, you don't want, you know, whatever that means.
This gets into a whole different discussion.
They should
everything
be
is sitting
running.
Here in paper. That's our book of record. We got a problem. It's not backed up properly.
Well,
everything's digital.
That's
backed
a different
up.
Issue.
Everything that comes
backed
in is scanned.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
but it's triple backed up. So
what's our book of record? Where is it?
Where's the server?
Whatever our book of record, if everything fails, we go to that point and recover everything. It's
if
not
we
the
have
file
server
cabinet.
With file redundancy, and we have a backup on that server.
Where
locally.
Is it?
Right here.
Well, I'm talking about not in this building.
There's a cloud backup that I have online. So.
Okay, so that's automatic cloud backup.
And where's all the paper copies kept?
Down the hall.
If the building goes, we have a cloud backup that you can
recover
this.
Right.
This, you know.
Okay, so is it correct that you don't have telephones? Like if you use a personal cell phone if you're working from home?
Yeah, it would be. We haven't set it up where we can forward calls to anyone.
No, I mean, like, you don't issue corporation cell phones.
No.
Right. And so if you're going to do this temporarily, people are going to be using their cell phones at home, right? So,
well, that's a whole discussion.
I know, that's why it's here to talk about
it. We our town falls down on that, and I think Lewisboro has a pretty good one. We just started, and it's IP phones. You know, the phone just rings wherever the hell you are.
You mean you take home a phone?
Yeah,
You can take it home, and you have a router that plugs into your broadband, and you're on the network. It's a VPN.
Everything works. It doesn't matter where you are. And you may be able to, I mean, the phones cost $25. They don't cost anything. And there may be just a chip or a sign-in on the phone. I'd have to look at some of them. We have OOMA,
Yeah. We have a Cisco system.
Cisco, and there's Nativa. There's a bunch of different ones out there.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't cost any more. It's just we may want to do that so that everything works the same. Whether you're
investigate, Clay.
So for the time being,
yeah, it's,
you're working with your personal
cell phones.
So, if somebody wants to work from home, then that's you're not paying for internet, you're not paying for telephone access charges, whatever that is, right?
Yeah, we're not.
You'll get to it down the road where someone wants to be expensed.
Well, then you should be a VOIP. So right now, that's not a charge. Right?
Just telling
them
that.
Yeah,
I just think you need to have policies.
Years ago, it was something reasonable. Everybody has it on broadband at their house. But if they don't, they can't work at home.
I think that's right, if you don't have adequate access. Mm-hmm. Because that's one of the parts of the policy, is that you need to have adequate
telephone
access, right?
Yeah.
Right. So
you put the onus on the employee to have that access.
Yeah,
otherwise,
what
about working into them with the safety aspect, like the safe work environment?
Well, I think OSHA is different, right?
Okay.
OSHA is OSHA.
I don't know, what is
so
that?
So someone has a loose carpet in their office and they
trip.
Oh,
that's different.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I think that's an open question,
mm-hmm.
what happens. So that's why I said, I think, a conversation with your insurer is not valid.
Right. If you fall and you're laying on your floor for a few days because nobody's in and out of the house, that's it.
Well, what if you fall on the corporation's laptop? That's a
trip over the laptop.
In Hawaii.
So I think with regards to that, how this is going to work out, we've got to come up with a set of standards about what a safe work environment is.
I don't know.
I'm going to try to get that from NIMR. And then the employees who are working remotely are just going to have to certify that they've met the requirements.
Right.
But if they didn't, I don't know that necessarily it's like, you let your office work as long as
I know in the private sector, to Warren's point, I also worked remotely for a long time. And I was never asked, is your home office safe?
Right.
You know,
it's just a reminder that OSHA requirements do apply.
I
don't have a lot of tools. I think that's the problem. Most things haven't caught up,
right.
to this kind of
mm-hmm.
environment. Employees expected to attend to any job duties that include off-site inspections, meetings, visits, whether remote or off-site. Travel reimbursement to and from the closer of the employee's remote site and the office, because obviously if you're going to a meeting and your house is closer, the IRS won't let you, pay for that. If you do, it's going to be additional compensation. So, and no travel reimbursement, obviously, between employee work site and the office. Employees have to demonstrate high level of organization, time management, complete timely task-based billing, additional hourly reporting, and a form approved by you guys. So is there anything else, any other issues or considerations that anybody else would suggest for this, for you to consider?
It might be minor, but I guess defining exactly what on-site actually means, because on-site could be a matter of construction site, doing an inspection.
So when I say
specifically mean sitting in a chair in this office.
Yeah, no, when I'm talking about off-site inspections, I mean like your working requires, and we can say that, some level of work at Field work, whatever, right.
Right.
That was the whole point about the site inspections in here is,
right.
You know, that site inspections would qualify as being in the office.
That's part of your office.
Yeah, just one.
Of course, yeah.
The thing, the only, so if they're driving from their house to someplace, or they're driving from here to someplace, we obviously pay mileage.
Mm-hmm. Right. I assume we do, right?
Yeah. We do. So one of the policies IBM had, whichever's less, we'll pay for.
Right.
And that's what's in here.
That's what I just said. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pre.
That's what I just said.
That's pre-existing.
Because that's IRS standards, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Otherwise, you can pay it, but it's compensation. Anything else? So how do you want to do this?
Well, I think the only thing that we need to come up with right now is the number of hours we expect people to be here versus the number of hours that we're going to allow them to work remotely.
Is that something you want to make a blanket approval of, though? Do you want that to be on a per employee basis? Like, if, say we get a remote web developer or something.
No, I think what we want is about the building. I think the policy is that the building should be open during the week. We have to decide.
That's not an employee. That's completely irrelevant to this discussion.
I'm just saying, if we were to hire someone that is entirely remote, and could
we wouldn't hire them as an employee. We just wouldn't.
Why
that doesn't make any sense. What?
Well,
why not?
Why would you hire a web developer? We would never hire somebody as an employee. Pick something else.
Pick anything else.
Anyone that's fully remote
really
that we could hire.
So I would say if
a
we
GIS
have,
specialist.
So I would say we need to focus on this policy right here with the employees we got. If we're going to hire somebody who has different requirements, then we need to modify
or we can visit
whatever
that.
We do. But right now we need to focus on the team that we have.
Yeah.
I know.
Sure.
So
you know, and does this work for you? And does it work for us?
If it's easier that way, then we just revisit later to update you.
Yeah.
Additional hires.
Yeah.
Right now, do people show up at this office?
Yes. Regularly, yeah.
Yeah, so.
They're all here now.
What?
They're all here now.
No, I don't mean this meeting, I meant.
Are they all here 5 days a week? Do they
no.
have the option
pretty
today
much,
that
yeah.
there's some.
Well, somebody's here, but not everybody.
I would say more often than not, everyone is in the office,
here.
Yeah. It's occasional that someone's working
yeah,
from
home.
Are you talking about our office or the building?
Yeah.
Well, our office.
Yeah,
so,
okay,
yeah.
Yes, yeah. Well, my question was, when I say people here, do people from the outside come in here?
Never.
Rare.
That's far less often.
It's only a foreign bid related.
Okay, so the time when they do come in is when you guys schedule something with somebody?
Right.
Yeah, do people ever walk in off this?
No.
Yeah. We got a lot of people trying to pay parking tickets that show up.
Only in cash.
We're going to pay it too.
You?
Patterson?
Yeah, they'll go to Patterson Town Hall and they come
that's
here.
What's going on with our revenue?
They pay, they come in, yeah, I got caught speeding. All right. Tell me more.
This used to be our court.
Wave it. I would start waving it for them and let them get in trouble.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, don't worry about it anymore. Here's the stamp.
But the reality is the industry itself is moving back toward everybody working full time, right? So the remote thing is kind of reached its peak and is going back down to where...
Depends on the industry.
Yeah, I was going to say, it depends on the industry.
A lot of my engineer friends are pretty much fully remote now.
My dad hasn't gone back to work since COVID. He works at IBM. Mm-hmm. He just works in my...
Well, he's in a job that doesn't deal with customers, so...
Right, but you have customers here, that's another thing. So
the city of Danbury is closed every Friday.
Well, that's a different thing. I'm thinking of doing the same instead of giving everybody a pay raise.
When I read all the business reports and what corporations are doing, they are moving to a full-time work 5 days
there's
a week.
Another
they're
town
not doing the remote.
But Bridge, at the same time, the state's moving
close
away
Friday.
From us. Which town?
One of the states always moved away.
One town up on the Hudson up in the Putnam to Dutchess. I think it's by Dutchess. But they're just closed Fridays.
Says the pay raise.
I think it's kind of like a simple
Well, I mean, they work 4 days a week. Do you
federal,
need to be able
federal
to work
employees have worked that way too, already. They work that way for a long time.
Well, when you get paid, when you get paid 90% of your pay, then there's a different discussion.
So if we want to have this, we want to have the place here manned. There should be two people here, right?
Two people.
No, because what happens if something happens to one person?
Okay.
Benny's got a good point.
So for our own liability, you need two people here. Mm-hmm. We have five employees, so let's do the math on what we need to have.
So my question right now is, are all the employees required to work the same number of hours per week?
You have a minimum of 38 to be full time, I believe.
Yeah, but are all the employees here currently?
We're all 40. Yeah.
So you're all 40.
Yeah.
Okay.
If everybody
was comfortable with, you know, Chris's proposal where we're, you know, we're having the employees work a minimum of 3 days and we want to switch it to hours, and it's a matter of 24 on, 16 off.
Why don't we do a percentage of hours? You know, as Warren said, 60%.
It's either 60 or 40, I don't know. But if you want two people here, we have, it's going to require them to work 3 days a week.
So without doing the math, I don't know if that works.
Unless you have the office closed on a certain day, the building closed, not the office.
Because 60-40 isn't 3/5 and 2/5.
I don't know what that meant.
It was 5 work days.
60-40 works if you do it per pay period of 2 weeks. That's how I initially showed it in the chart that I provided. So,
yeah. Long term, what I found over at IBM, because I've been doing this for a long time, the people that stay at home all the time are the ones that sooner or later get let go, even at IBM. Then they're calling up in panic mode, like, what happened? And my question is, when was the last time you saw your manager? Oh, I never met my manager. I said, well, that's a problem.
Yeah. That's why we have a policy already. We have disciplinary action that can be done if employees are not meeting expectations already. Yeah. So.
Keeping in mind, these are all at-will positions.
Well, I think what's going to happen here, because we have 4 employees and it's not like we're trying to boil the ocean, it's very personal, is we're going to put a policy out there, and we're going to revisit it in 2 or 3 months, and we're going to revisit it in 2 or 3 months, and we're going to make it's going to end up getting tweaked for the people we have, as opposed to we have 100,000 people for us and we're putting a policy in place.
Well, that's the point. I'm trying to keep this short because it's one page, because this is a small
exactly
population.
Yeah, so I think what we do is we go forward with the understanding that if it works or we need to tweak it, we're going to need to tweak it. And if we find out that, you know, there's a problem because the building's closed on a Friday all the time, we're not working with the building's not here, so they don't have 2 people don't have to be here, we're going to have to maybe tweak it again. But I would think 3 days not being here, as long as the building's closed on a Friday or something like that, we all agree.
You want to have 3 days?
So you're talking about a maximum of, so 40% of the office is what you're looking for. Minimum 40%.
Yeah, I think what we're saying,
Of the hours.
I was 3 in the office, 2 at home.
Yeah, I was 3 in the office.
That was big. It's like 3
home. Listen, I would prefer to start it, see how it works out, 3 in, 2 out.
Yeah, okay. I agree with that. But then you only go down the rabbit hole and go, okay, so Kevin can't take every Friday off.
As we got a rotation shift.
There's got to be a rotation in there that everybody has to do. I use Kevin as an example, right? So you have your 3 days might be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week, but it'll be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday the next week, whatever.
Well,
there's got to be a rotation in there.
That's maybe the value of being home on a Friday, that everybody should have the opportunity to be home on a Friday.
All right, so the office should be staffed 5 days. What we want to get at is the office is staffed 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. Right?
You can't go more than 2 days out of your week.
And you
with two staff people.
With two staff people. So, I mean, the math has to work out for the workers, the people who are working here. You figure it all out.
And that's a safety issue, other than...
And that's why you should have the shared calendar and figure it out. And I don't know why we're trying to micromanage 4 people.
We're just trying to
come up with a policy. I'm not saying...
So the policy is a shared calendar. We want 2 people here 5 days a week. Figure it out.
Well, I understand, but you still want to keep the office open. You want to figure out what the... So everybody... So it's equitable. You need to know how many days people have got to be here and how many days they are. And then after that, we do the work plan. The staff does the work plan.
we review it, we approve it, and that's where you share calendar gets
okay.
set.
All right. Well, I think, again, you want to, less is more. You know, I'm with you. I watched IBM work. Nobody had they working in hotels. Most had hotels most of the time.
And
nobody
still, had right, I'm still here.
Yeah.
When I get meeting, every laptop got opened. We didn't have videos that were Teams. We had the same time. And people were communicating with everybody all the time, and people would be touching their screens all the time at every meeting. There'd be 15 laptops open.
Yeah.
And that's just how you, that's how you worked. And I still do the same thing, even though I don't have same time up or nobody cares about contact. So I would defer to put a policy out there with the understanding is it's probably going to get tweaked a little bit. If it doesn't work, if it doesn't work for you guys, let us know.
So the policy has to go to the board, right?
I would think the policy has to go to the board.
So do you want me to take this discussion from you, put it into something a little more pretty?
Absolutely.
And put this on the agenda for the board meeting?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And in this state, can it get approved at the next board meeting to be in place?
Well, we can even if we said right now, okay, we're going to try this, and if the board says no,
hasn't heard of this, so the board may need to talk about it. I can't
right.
judge what the board is going to do. So.
No, but for the summer.
So the speed of government at your will.
So the full board is the next meeting that we're going to have. We're not having an executive in between, right?
Correct.
Right. So we'll put it on for approval, what they do with it.
Okay.
So do you want to take a vote to put this on the agenda for the board?
Yes.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor.
Aye.
Why is that necessary to vote to put something on the agenda?
This board needs to recommend a policy to the board of directors. The board of directors needs a recommendation from this board about what the policy should be. So
okay.
that's the discussion this board just had.
All right. We don't have a policy yet, though.
Okay.
This is the policy that
so,
is being recommended.
All right. So here's where we're, Keith, here's where we're
so
going
right
now. All right. She wrote something up. She's going to tweak it based on this conversation. Then I would like Chris to share it with the executive board and the staff and let everybody comment on it before we get to the, you know, final version for the plan.
Well, we just approved sending pretty much.
And you did get handed one today, right?
I did not.
No, I didn't provide this to the staff because this is not a negotiation with the staff. This is a discussion that's being had by the board members at this point.
Yeah.
So.
That's true, Chris, but at the same time, you know,
we can provide the next
it's affecting them, so I would like their input as well.
Fine, we can give the next version.
Now, just on what we were briefly discussing, you know, there's high availability, continuous availability, all these disaster recovery. If you're off-site, is it seamless when you access things here?
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to pull up a set of plans, is it seamless?
Yeah.
Okay. So all that stuff happens to work, and we have a disaster backup someplace off-site.
Yep.
And it's in a form that you can somehow get it back up in a reasonable amount of time.
Yep.
Phones.
That's the only problem left. It's just
when you say there's no problem, they're going to either use their house phone or their cell phone.
As of right now, yeah. Once you have the policy in place.
So you're
going to
look at just some, I mean, they're literally plug and play. Yes.
So.
But you would have to ship this, your current system, right?
I think we just get them from Optimum, whatever the company is, yeah, the cable company that goes
over. What's your current phone?
Comcast.
Yeah, so yeah, we're going to have to get into to do voice over IP, we're going to have to get into your system.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, you get new phones.
No, but you have to get a new system here.
Yes, well, you cancel those and move the numbers over to the other one.
No,
and Comcast may already provide a feature where you can route.
Well,
you are right.
Yeah. Or even have like a voice over IP application on your laptop, and you can use it.
You
on
can,
the
yeah. You can just pull open up your laptop, and then your phone is right there. And you can dial out from it, put your headpiece in, talk from there. Things get called there to your phone, to your laptop.
But you gotta be able to be called on it, so.
Right. Yeah, but I think there's ways you can
works.
Check it.
Yeah.
I've called for my laptop.
So there's a couple of telephony options.
Right.
I would just find one that works for everybody because you don't want people calling your house up. On odd hours when you're not there. And
rather than invest in a new system, see what the current system offers.
Yeah, right.
When you say invest, we're paying a monthly charge. The monthly charge going with
no,
the
you have
we own the hardware.
Right here, the hardware. You have a phone system here.
Yeah. Yeah, we have answering machine, and we've got an individual. Yeah.
You have a PBX here?
No, it's not a PBX. It's just a regular phone that can handle, what is it, 500? Linda, where do we have 400?
I know, but we're paying a monthly charge.
It's just a phone.
We're paying a monthly charge for the phone.
All right, time out. Never going to get this in minutes.
Buy that phone.
And it's a Walmart special. It's just a regular phone. It's a regular.
So when you say we have a lot invested in it,
no, there's no
for
money
what we're paying with monthly on this, and we just...
Right, yeah.
So once we get the policy in place, Corey's going to look at updating the policy. We're good.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. We've got the agenda for the regular meeting. Other than what we just modified, anybody want to make any changes to it?
We have to have a personnel item on there for while we made the recommendation in July's meeting, not sorry, June's meeting.
Meeting, yep.
For Corey's change in compensation.
Good point.
So I don't know if that's just going to be listed as executive session, probably for other business before we come back in for the board to finalize.
All right, so you had that, you'll have the telecommunicating. Okay, telecommuting policy. Anything else? All right, other business. Chris, did you want to go into executive session to talk about a legal issue?
A claim?
I didn't do it.
So moved. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.